God's working in our lives. Amen. I love Africa. I mean that. And it's not just the jollof, although I do. I do love the jollof. I love the food as well. But I love the whole continent also. My wife and I have had the great privilege of traveling to Africa on three different occasions. In fact, the first time I ever left the continental United States was to go. That's not true. I went to Puerto Rico before I went to Africa, but that was still U.S. territory. But that was leaving the continental United States. So I did go to Puerto Rico first to get married. I had ordered my wife on eBay, and I went there to pick. No. That's a bad joke. So, but it was good to have you as my wife. Yes, but we did get married in Puerto Rico. So, but to really for a trip beyond that, Africa was the first place we went. When my wife and I left the United States to go to Zambia, we had a great time there. We've had the privilege of going back a couple of times when we visited Kenya 1 year and had a great time there. And then 1 year we took our whole family, our sons, our niece went with us, and we all went to Ghana on vacation 1 year. People asked me, "Are you going to Ghana on a missions trip?" And we were like, "No, we're just going to Ghana." And we went there and had a fantastic time there as well with the folks who were there. And I've known so many wonderful people who immigrated from Africa over the years as well. And so many African nations are represented in our church family here at Silver Spring Assembly. As we've seen over these 7 weeks, there are any number of Africans represented in the pages of God's Word as well. And sometimes it's easy to miss them without knowing where they came from. But I found myself some time back searching God's Word for them, because nothing in God's Word is by accident. Come on, that's a good place for an amen. Amen. All of God's word is profitable. All of God's word is given to us for specific purpose. All scripture is God-breathed. Is God-breathed. We know that as well. So, and we haven't met all of those individuals in this series, but we have met some great ones. Just as a really fast review as we jump in, we began with Simon from Cyrene. He was the man who carried Jesus' cross. He came from North Africa. The great truth, although there were several from the account with him, but was the demonstration that we saw as well through Paul's epistle to the church in Rome, that his family came to faith in Jesus Christ. You know, God wants to save your whole family. Amen? Salvation is a family thing. God is after everybody as well, not just one. We looked at the Ethiopian treasurer as well, who was met out there in his chariot one day. And through him, we saw that although he had been rejected previously in his attempts to worship, once he came to the foot of the cross, Jesus accepted. Because, come on, Jesus accepts all of us and loves all of us. Amen? And we saw that in his life as well. We looked at the Queen of Sheba, and we saw how she was awed and was in wonder at the work of God in the life of Solomon. And I want to tell you, if you let God move in your life, others will be awed by what God does in your life as well, just as what happened in him. We met Abed-Melech, who, although he had no reason to risk anything, he put it all on the line to rescue Jeremiah when he had been lowered down into that pit. And he demonstrated for us that need for us to also be there to help one another and to help everyone. We met Simeon and Lucius, who were the leaders in the early first century church there in Antioch. And in fact, they were among the first believers to ever preach the gospel to Gentiles or to send missionaries to anyone who wasn't Jewish. Come on, aren't we grateful for them today? Amen? That the gospel would go forth all around the world and reach us as well. And of course, we met Zipporah as well, and through her radical act, saw her heart for her family and the need to, and her desire to save her family and be there for them. So there's some great folks that we have met along the way. There are many other Africans mentioned in the Bible as well, and you can go through and study them along the way on your own also. But I just want to consider some overall truth today as we conclude this series. In the Bible, there are a lot of mentions of Egypt. In fact, Egypt will be the country that is most mentioned from Africa in the Bible because it was such a big part of Israel's history. So, of course, it's mentioned a great deal. But beyond that, as you read through it, the most common reference to Africa refers to Cush. It was in our opening text today. Put that verse back up for me from Psalm, just to look at it again. That verse, it said, envoys will come from Egypt. Cush will submit herself to God. Now, Cush in a modern translation sometimes gets translated as Ethiopia, as understood in that region. But reality is, if we had lived in the time when the scriptures were written, most folks would use the word Cush to mean anywhere that was below Egypt. If you were below Egypt, you were a Cushite. So they referred to the Egyptians specifically. So that whole area of Somalia, Ethiopia, that entire region, they tended to be referred to as Cushites. As you get farther down in the continent, of course, the folks in the times where the scriptures are written, they had not visited down there, so they weren't as familiar to them. Some modern scholars of the scriptures would tell us that you could just as easily translate that word Cush, instead of translating it as Ethiopia, you could translate it just to say Africans, because that would be the understanding of people in that day. Folks who came from Africa was its reference along the way. So when we see that word Cush in the Bible, we need to remember that. Africans are a big part of the history of God's plan of redemption for humanity. And as we wrap up this series, as I mentioned, I want to highlight a few passages that speak of that. And they speak of more than God's plan for Africa. They speak of God's plan for people, of God's plan for people. So catch this. First things first today, God's plan is for everyone. Everyone. If you're sitting with somebody, let them know, hey, that's you. Come on, let somebody know if you're sitting with them. Hey, that's you. God's plan is for everyone. That was always God's plan. Under the old covenant, before Jesus ever came, God's plan was for the nation of Israel to be a light to the nations. The Bible spoke specifically about that. Now, reality is they didn't come through too well with that. They tended to become much more of an exclusive club and keep to themselves throughout most of their history. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was that he was going to move through the descendants of Abraham, move through the nation of Israel, and they would be a light to the nations. The rest of the world would be able to see, wow, look at how God favors people who serve him and follow him and what he does. And then they would want to come and follow God as well. So that was the plan along the way. Even when the Old Testament temple was designed under the Old Covenant, there was a court for Gentiles, non-Jews, to worship in. God wasn't excluding everyone else when he chose Abraham. It was a plan to reveal himself to everyone who would believe. It was why the prophet Isaiah, when he spoke concerning the coming Messiah, Jesus himself, said these words about God's plan. This won't be on a screen for you, but I'm going to read it to you. It's Isaiah 49:6. This is God speaking of sending his son. It says this, he says, that's the Father, he says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 49:6. The plan of Jesus then was from the beginning, that was it, to reach everybody. The treasurer of Ethiopia, he saw that light on the desert road when Philip ran up to his chariot, and the Bible says he preached Jesus to him. God's plan is to reach the ends of the earth. It has always been. It has always been. God wants everyone to come to him. It's why Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote to the church that God is patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Aren't you glad God waited for you? Amen? Come on, as much as we would say, man, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and we don't have to worry with this anything related to anything on earth anymore. God is patient, wanting all to come to repentance, the Bible teaches us. But what I really want to show you today is a prophetic passage found in Psalm 87 that speaks of God's plan. Psalm 87 is what we call a messianic psalm. It prophesied the coming Messiah. And in the psalm, something is declared that looks ahead to God's call for us to all be born again in Christ Jesus. I'm going to get to that verse in just a bit. I'm not quite there yet, that Psalm 87. You don't have to have it on the screen yet if you're in the back of the room, but I'll get to it in just a bit. First, I want you to remember this. Remember with me when Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, came to Jesus one night, came to see him, and he came inquiring about who Jesus really was. And during his visit, Jesus told Nicodemus that in order to see the kingdom of God, he had to do something, and that something was he had to be born again. Now, no one had ever used the phrase born again before, and Nicodemus didn't even understand it. He would even ask Jesus when he said it, how's that even possible? How can a man be born again? He even asked Jesus this, how can someone re-enter their mother and be born again? A second time. That doesn't even make any sense, Jesus. But Jesus, of course, was speaking of a spiritual birth that would follow our natural birth, that we would be born a second time into the kingdom of God. Well, it's God's plan for everyone to have the opportunity to be born again into his family. And the psalm I mentioned, it speaks prophetically in a beautiful way specifically of this. I want to show it to you now. This is Psalm 87, verses 3 through 6. Psalm 87, 3 through 6. It says this, glorious things are said of you, city of God. I will record Rahab. Now, when you read the word Rahab there, that's not Rahab who lived in the wall that lowered the spies down. That's not who that's talking about. Rahab in this context, Rahab was also a poetic term that referred to the nation of Egypt at this time. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. He's talking about Egypt. I will record Rahab or Egypt and Babylon among those who acknowledge me. This is God saying this. Philistia too, and Tyre, along with Cush. And remember, Cush is where? Come on, yeah, talk to me. I heard it in the room, it's Africa. And will say, this one is born in Zion. Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will write in the register of the peoples, this one was born in Zion. Man, I love this. I love this. Who has a birth certificate? You don't have to have it with you. Wave at me if you have a birth certificate. Of course you have a birth certificate. Annie, on your birth certificate, where does it say you were born? But where at specifically? So where in Sierra Leone? Eastern Province in Sierra Leone. Do you know that when you get to heaven and you get your heavenly birth certificate, that's not what it's going to say. It's going to say, this one was born in Zion. Come on, that's good news. Because when you're born again into the kingdom of God, you become a child of God and a child of Abraham, is what he says. Juliana, where were you born? Yeah, in Brazil. And you'll always be Brazilian for all of eternity around the throne. But on your heavenly birth certificate, it's going to say, this one was born in Zion. Sarai, where were you born? Puerto Rico and Bayamón, see? Yes, this one was born in Zion. Where were you born, Nini? Beijing. This one was born in, when you see it, don't go over to like the record keeper in heaven and say, hey, you made a mistake. I was actually born in Beijing, and this says I was born in Zion. They're going to say, we didn't make any mistake. Come on. It was always God's plan for everyone to be a part of his family. He wants all to come to him and be connected. And when we're born again, this new work is done in our lives. Amen? Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you came from. God's plan is for you to be a part of his family, and God uses Africa as one of the ways he illustrates this truth for us, that he adopts us all in. Praise God. A second thing that I want you to catch today is not only is God's plan for everyone, worship is for everyone. Worship is for everyone. It's hard for me not to think of the Samaritan woman whom Jesus met at the well one time when I think of this. She was the one who had five husbands, as you recall, but the man she was living with wasn't her husband at the time, and Jesus told her all her business. Remember that? Jesus told her, she even when she went back to town to gather people, she said, come meet a man who told me everything about me. Jesus just knew all her business, and the Holy Spirit had revealed it to him, and she was there. But when she encountered Jesus at the well, she asked Jesus a question about worship, and her question was about where to worship. Where do we worship at? She says, you know, Jesus, the Samaritan people, we worship at this mountain, but the Jewish people, they worship at this mountain. And where's the right place? She said to Jesus, I can see that you're a prophet, is what she said to him. But where are we supposed to worship at? But Jesus' answer wasn't about where when he answered her. His answer was about who and how. It was in John 4, 23 and 24. He said this. Listen to this with me. John 4, 23 and 24. He said, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. So Jesus' answer was about more about who and how and not about where. Now, I remember as a young believer not really knowing how to worship. I had not attended, I'd been to church some as a little boy, but had many years had not gone, and back in church as a teenager, and the church that I came in, people were very charismatic in their worship, and I was unfamiliar with this. In fact, can I even say it looked a little crazy to me? Who remembers coming to church maybe for the first time and folks looked a little crazy to you? Do you remember that? You can admit it. It did to me. I came in, I was like, man, these folks are nuts. And they were crazy. They're clapping and raising their hands, and all this was going on, and jumping and shouting. And I remember the first few weeks spending most of my time just standing there watching. Literally, I would just, and I always sat in the back pew. And I would just watch. And sometimes when I was watching, it was like, what are they doing? And I realized the truth about Jesus, but the worship part was crazy to me. But then I found in the scriptures that the Bible says to clap your hands to God. You know the Bible says to do that? Come on, everybody in the room, and if you're at home, do it as well. Clap your hands. Come on, Father, we give you praise in our clapping right now. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you. We don't clap just to keep time with the music. We clap because the Bible says to clap. It's a way that we praise God. The Bible says that one of the ways we worship is we lift our hands. Come on, all across the room, lift your hands. Lift your hands right now. We lift our hands in worship. I can remember when I first came to church, the first times I ever lifted my hands, everybody would be like praying, their eyes would be closed. I'd like sneak my hand up. I like wanted to see what it was like or something. I was like, it was new to me to lift my hands. And the Bible also tells us that bowing is one of the ways that we worship. And the Bible tells us that singing is one of the ways that we worship. The Bible even tells us that dancing is one of the ways we worship, right? He is alive. He is alive. Maybe not dancing quite like that, but when I was there at church and I came in, then I found that I started to do these things too. And although I had come from the outside and now was a part of the group, now when they clapped, I clapped. And when they lifted their hands, I lifted my hands. And when they danced, I'm a white guy, but I was like, I could hold my own a little bit here, and I would move a little bit. And I started bowing, and I started singing, and I started doing those things. And I remember getting into worship. And then I remember after I'd been in church for a little bit, and I started getting to know the Bible a little more, and I started getting to know Jesus a little more, and I started getting to know myself a little more, and then I got to a place where I didn't want to worship anymore. I'd been doing good with it, but then I transitioned where I started feeling like, I'm not good enough for this. I started getting to know the scriptures and how holy God was and how righteous God was, and then they would be singing a song about lifting holy hands to God, and then I would put my hands down. I would like, no, that's not me. I'm not holy. I'm not righteous. So I had to learn more about the Word of God. In fact, what makes us righteous, come on, isn't our own good deeds. It's Jesus himself, amen? And I realized that when I was doing that, what I was really saying was that Jesus wasn't good enough, that Jesus hadn't really cleansed me, that Jesus hadn't really made me whole. The cross wasn't really sufficient. But come on, Jesus is enough. He's our all in all. And that means, see, when I lift my hands and say these are holy hands, the only thing I'm saying is Jesus is here. Because they're not on our own. And if I say, well, these hands aren't holy, you know what I'm saying? Jesus isn't here. Jesus isn't really here. Because where Jesus is, come on, you remember when Moses encountered that bush that burned and that wasn't consumed? And God said, take off your sandals. Why? He said, because this is holy ground. When God shows up, it's a holy place. When God lives you, that makes you holy. When God is here with us, that makes this place holy. And so all of us then are to be a part of this. It's not about our own good deeds. God wants all his children to worship him, and you're good at it. You say, well, I don't play an instrument. I don't really stay on key. Doesn't matter. You're still good at worshiping. You're still good at worshiping. God created you as a worshiper. There was a time in the history of God's people where even though it had never been God's plan, worship became something that really only those from Israel did. They treated others as unwelcome, as if God only wanted to be worshiped by a select few. But when we worship, we connect with God, and God wants a connection with everyone, with everyone. So there's this great prophecy that came in Isaiah, where Isaiah spoke of a day when envoys would come out of Africa to bring gifts to Jerusalem as an act of worship. And Isaiah was speaking for God about letting God's people know that the whole earth was a part of God's plan and that God wanted to be worshiped by everyone. Isaiah 18:7, look at it with me, Isaiah 18:7. It says this: at that time, gifts will be brought to the Lord Almighty from a people tall and smooth skin, from a people feared far and wide, an aggressive nation of strange speech whose land is divided by rivers. He was actually speaking about the land of Cush in this context, that Ethiopian region there. The gifts will be brought to Mount Zion, the place of the name of the Lord Almighty. So although worship had become exclusive to Israel, Isaiah came saying, hey, it's not going to stay like this. Everybody's going to come. Everybody is going to worship God. We're all worshipers of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Now, when John had his revelation, we know that he saw people from every tribe, every nation, every kindred, every tongue. But don't wait for that. Worship now, praise God. Worship now. And then just a final thought today, man. God's plans for all of us, no matter who we are, where we came from, God wants to be worshiped by everyone. It was always his plan. And just a final thought today on something God uses Africa to illustrate for us, and that's that God's concern, God's care is for everyone. Feeling like you're not cared about can be heartbreaking. There was an African woman in the Bible who felt like that. She felt like that she was not cared about at all or cared for at all. In fact, she is the only African woman in the Bible who gives God a name. What a significant thing that she does. There are prophets and individuals that actually give names for God in the Bible, names that we still use to this day. She is the only individual we find who actually names God, gives God one of his names. Her name was Hagar. She was a handmaid to Abraham's wife, Sarah, and handmaid, of course, is a nice way of saying that she was a slave, because that's what she really was. She was a slave to them. And this is not a message on slavery, so I don't want to hang out on that. But because I mention it, I do want to slip in and assure you here that although there are individuals in the Bible, when we read through it, that it is recorded for us that they are slaves, it is not God's plan, nor has it ever been God's plan for anyone to be a slave. In a day and a culture where, in Hagar's day, about 90% of the earth's population was probably in some form of indentured servitude, which is just hard to even think about. And in that day, it was common. But that doesn't mean it was what God wanted. God's plan is liberty. God's plan is freedom. That's why when Paul wrote to the church, he wrote it. Hey, you might be stuck in a bad situation, but Paul said as well. He said, but if you got a chance to get yourself free, what did he say? Get yourself free. That's God's plan, is liberty for his people in every area of our lives. But that was her situation. Sarah, who couldn't have a child, grew tired of waiting, if you recall the account with me, and she gave her servant, her slave, her handmaid, Hagar, to Abraham to have a child with. But after she did it, then she wished she had never done it. Now she hated what she had done, and she felt bad about what she had done, and she felt jealous of this woman now, and she would end up starting to despise her. And the Bible says that she began to mistreat her and treat her poorly, and later she would even end up kicking her out. But before she would kick her out, Hagar would come to a place where she would run away. The Bible tells us, being treated poorly in this terrible situation, she ran away from Abraham and Sarah. And one time when she thought she was all alone after she had run away, God found her and spoke to her. And he told her that her son would become a nation as well. And then Hagar spoke these great words in Genesis 16:13. I don't have it for you, but listen to this. Genesis 16:13, it says this: she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." You are the God who sees me. Maybe Sarah didn't care about Hagar. Maybe Abraham didn't care about Hagar. But God never stopped caring about Hagar. And she realized that day that God saw her. Later, when Ishmael was a young teen, and Abraham and Sarah would kick Hagar out because she had gone back to them and kick her out with practically nothing, she wandered off. And when she was out of water, she left her son under a bush where he was going to die. And she left him and she went off alone because she says, I can't bear to hear his cries. I can't watch my own son die. But on that occasion, God would show up and meet her once again. He had never left her. He has never left you. God cares for everyone. We say just a lone woman who had been sold into slavery from Africa, who had to run away, did God care about her? God met her in that place. Come on, God was there. God cares for everyone, he does. When the prophet Amos was called to preach in Israel, he would use Africa as a way to illustrate God's love and concern for everyone. It's Amos 9:7. Amos 9:7 says this, "Are not you Israelites the same to me as the Cushites, declares the Lord?" It's a rhetorical question. "Did I not bring Israel up from Egypt, the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Arameans from Kir?" Amos 9:7. God was saying, I don't care for Africa more than Israel. I don't care for Israel more than Africa. You're all the same to me. I care for all of you, is what God was declaring. Everyone is the same in my sight, praise God. Romans 2:11 says that God does not show favoritism. He cares for all of us. He cares for all of us. Praise God. Man, when the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of Scripture to write the Word of God to us, he would ensure that many Africans would be mentioned in the Word of God to us as ways of that we would be able to see. It would reveal to us how God had worked through people in history. And I'm grateful for the Africans from God's Word. God used them, he worked through them, he spoke through them. It helps us to get to know his nature through them for all of us. And just as we pull it together today as a series, and Juliana, if you'd come and join me once again, the worship team could come with her. I want you to remember these truths. We've seen some great ones as we walk through it, but as some overall truths, I want you to remember these today. God's plan is for everyone. If we ever think, well, I don't know about that person or this land or those people, hey, there are some peoples of the earth to this day who are still overall as nations are just totally rejecting Jesus Christ and the plan of the gospel. We know that. But you know what? God still wants them to be saved. Amen? God wants them to be saved. There are whole nations of the earth where people are predominantly a completely different religion. Does Jesus have a plan? Does he want to reach them and draw them to him as well? Yes, it was always God's plan to reach everyone, no matter who we are or where we came from. It's always God's plan to be worshiped by everyone, the peoples of the whole earth, in eternity and now. And it illustrates for us as well and demonstrates for us also that God cares for everyone. If you ever think, well, maybe not me, maybe somehow I got left out. No, it is you. From the most vile individual to the most upright, no matter who we are or where we came from, God's concern is for all of us. I want to invite you to stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the God who sees. All alone. A lone African woman who had been so mistreated, she would say that to him. You are the God who sees me. He's the God who sees you. He's the God who sees you. That's why his plan is for you as well. That's why he wants to be worshiped by you as well. He cares about every aspect of your life as well. He's the God who sees. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the individuals that you have used throughout time to illustrate such great truths for us. Some of them went through some tough things, some tough times, and yet through those difficult paths, we got to see you move, Lord God. We thank you for that. It builds our faith. It assures us that you see us as well. You care for us as well. May we always be found worshiping you as well, Lord God. Hallelujah. For we know, Lord God, it's your plan for every one of us to follow you. May our heart for the lost never diminish, Lord God. For we know your plan is and has always been for everyone. May we continue to give and pray and go to reach them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And then may we trust in you in our own lives also. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hey, we sung a number of songs this morning about God being a miracle worker, about God making a way out of no way. And in your own life, maybe there's a situation you're in right now where that's what you need. You really need for God to move supernaturally in your life. It's a situation where you can't do it on your own. You need God to move as only He can and show His power in your life. As this team leads us once again in a song, I want you to sing it. I want it to be a prayer of declaration to you. You can pray as well and to believe God to move in your life. And if in your situation you're thinking, I don't know if this really matters to God. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. He's the God who sees. He cares for everyone. He cares for you in your situation as well. So I want you to trust in Him. Hallelujah. Trust in Him. Juliana, I want you to lead us in this. Hey, we're going to stay live for a little bit online. We continue to worship for a while in the room. And those of you who are at home, unfortunately, you missed that part. But if you're in the back, let's stay live for a bit as we worship to this. And if you're at home, I want you to believe for God to move in your life also as we sing this together. Lead us in this. Father, I pray right now for everybody at home, everybody in this room, whatever our needs are, you are the God who sees. You wrote us all into your plan. It's going to be written written of us, is written, even as our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. This one was born in Zion. We thank you, Lord God, for your plan that we would all be born again. We've worshiped you today. We know that's your plan for us as well, Lord God. And we thank you for your love and your concern for us. Reassure us of that. We know the devil is a liar. He tries to lie to us sometimes, God, and make us feel all alone. We know you're with us always. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You always see. You always make a way. We rest in that today. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I want to encourage you as always, walk in Him. Live victoriously this week in Christ Jesus. Come on. Stay. Go after God all week long. That's God's plan for you. Amen. His plan for your life. Have a great week. Those of you at home as well in Christ Jesus. God bless you. Amen.